Our life seems to be made up of 3 8-hour periods of day. 8 hours to work, 8 hours to sleep, 8 hours to do everything else. So the average human being spends 1/3 of his time at work. 8 hours out of 24. But as we sleep for 8 hours, most of us do. I know some people who sleep for 90 minutes. They say they're very smart. I must be very dumb. I sleep a full 8 hours. So as we sleep for 8 hours, only 16 hours are left in a day. So we can honestly say that we spend half of our time, half of our life at work. For 8 hours, and for some people 10, 12 hours, we are with co-workers, customers, vendors, patients, sellers, buyers, supervisors. Half of our life is spent at work. And this morning, as we continue our study of the new life in Christ, we see how a person with a new life in Christ is to conduct himself, how he is to behave at work. As so much time is involved there, it is a very important matter. We are not to act like the rest of the world. We are not to do questionable things just because everybody else at work is doing it. We are different people. We are different than the others. In today's competitive world, it is very, very difficult for a Christian to obey God and to hold his job and to get a promotion. But we must obey God just the same and trust him for whatever we need. Unsaved fellow employees may take advantage of the Christian worker. But this can be an opportunity for the Christian to witness and to back up his witness with his work life. Remember, it is far more important to win a lost soul than to make a few extra dollars. It is sad that today in the Christian society, dollars are more important. They are more valuable than souls. Souls that will never be destroyed. The Bible tells us that the body returns to the dust, but the spirit, the inside, returns to God. And unfortunately, dollars are more important than souls of people. Please turn to Colossians chapter 3 as we continue our study in the book of Colossians. Paul has been dealing with different relationships. First, our relationship to Christ. Putting off the old nature, putting on the new nature. That was the Christian and his Christ. Next, our relationship to the Word of God, the Christian and his creed. Then he moved to interpersonal relationships, the husband-wife relationship, the parents-children relationship. That's the Christian and his character, the Christian and his conduct. Now he comes to the employee-employer relationship, the Christian and his career. Just like the husbands and wives and the parents and children must have a reciprocal, a mutual type of responsibility, so do the employees-employers. They have mutual responsibilities. Verse 22, servants, today we can say employees, obey in all things your masters, your employers, according to the flesh, not with eye service, not as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. So Paul starts with the employees' responsibilities. He mentioned three of them. The first one is obedience. What kind of obedience? Paul makes sure that there is no confusion about the type of obedience. He mentioned five things about it. Number one, a total obedience. He said, obey in all things. To obey is better than sacrifice. You may make great sacrifices at work for your employers. To obey is better than sacrifice. Your sacrifices that you make for the job will never allow you to disobey. Obey in all things. Pretty clear. Our employer should not have to repeat several times what he wants us to do. He should not either have to argue with us to make us do the work his way. We are not to argue with him that our way is better than his. We are not to challenge him. We are to obey in all things. The Christian employee does the employer's will and not his own. And he does it the employer's way, not his own. Obey your masters. There is no specification about the kind of masters. He could be a believer employer, and he could be an unbelieving employer. It makes no difference. We are to obey in all things. Whether we have a Christian employer or not. So the first thing about obedience, it is a total obedience. Number two, he says, according to the flesh. What does he mean? They are our masters in secular things. They have no power, no authority over the Spirit, over our Christianity, or over our relationship with God. We do not have to obey anything that would be contrary to the Word of God. Cheat, lie, deceit. We do not have to submit to any ungodly requests. We obey them according to the flesh. It is a fleshly obedience, not obedience to spiritual things. Number three, not with eye service. It should not be a conditional obedience. We obey whether we are being watched or not. We obey also when our supervisor and our employer is not around. There are Christian employees today who are very disobedient whenever they are not watched. Whenever they are watched, they are great. They are the best of employees. When they know that someone is watching them, the supervisor, the manager, the director, but whenever they are alone, they go back to do whatever they want to do. And this is wrong. Paul is telling us, not with eye service. Our obedience is not with eye service. Our obedience should be unconditional. Whether we are being supervised or not, we should be honest and upright, not spending our time talking. We should not even witness, preach, or teach on our paid time. We should wait for our own time, break time, lunch time, to do that. Because if we do preach and teach and witness on our paid time, it could be considered stealing from our employer. He is not paying us to preach, teach, witness, but to perform a certain work and to do anything else. But what we are being paid for is a bad witness for our Lord, and it is stealing from our employer who is paying us. So a total obedience, not a fleshly obedience, an unconditional obedience. Number four, not as men pleasers. Our obedience should be true and honest obedience. Not obeying only to please people in order to get a salary increase, in order to find favor, to get promotions, to get special type of easy job from the supervisor. So I will obey and I will be cool because, man, I got something in for me. That is not an honest obedience. Number five, insincerity of heart. Our obedience should be sincere obedience. Remember verse 17. Whatever we do in word or deed, we do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's the kind of obedience it should be. That's why Paul adds in that verse, fearing God. Our obedience is to Him, not really to the employer. We work for Him, not really the employer. So five things about obedience. A total obedience, a fleshly obedience, an unconditional obedience, a true, honest obedience, and a sincere obedience. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul added a few things to the employees. He said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5, servants, or again, employee, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service, not as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free, whether he is an employee or an employer. So the work that Christians do is to be done willingly, cheerfully, and this is pleasing to the Lord. Now Peter adds a few things to the employees. In his second letter, no, first letter, second chapter, 1 Peter 2, verse 18. Servants, again, employees, be submissive to your masters, your employers, with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable. If because of conscience towards God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer for it, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. So Peter mentions obedience with all fear. What does it mean? It means with respect, without questioning, without challenging, without disputing, without defying. What if the employer is wrong? He is the master. If he wants to make us do something the long way, or to do something that is not that important, he has the right. He is the one paying us. If he asks us what our opinion, we tell him. We are there to serve him, to help him, not to boss him around. Peter adds not to obey only the good and the gentle, but also the harsh. People say, I'm not going to work for him, he's too harsh. What does God say? God says, obey not only the good and the gentle. That's easy to do. I love to work there. He's so nice. You should say, I love to work there. He's harsh. He's tough. But I'm working for the Lord, and I'm offering these things up for the Lord. Remember that our obedience is to the Lord. If we really cannot handle the job, or if we cannot take it anymore, it would be better for us to quit than to give our employer a hard time. Why? Because it would be a bad witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. It would give Christianity a bad name. It has been given a bad name enough as is. We are not to add to it. We are not to live like the rest of the world. So the first responsibility to employees is obedience. Number two, verse 23. Whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. The second responsibility is integrity. It is also disappearing in the Christian society. People do not have integrity anymore. Whatever you do, do it heartily. We should be very conscientious on the job, attentive to details, and paying attention to what we are doing and what we are being paid for. We should be punctual. Otherwise, it's stealing. We should be dependable. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God is within us. We should be reliable. We should be trustworthy. We should be the most productive employee on the job. And extremely diligent. This will make us a good witness for our Lord Jesus Christ. No work is well done when the heart is not in it. Do it heartily, as to the Lord. He is telling us now how to work. And then, who to do the work for? To the Lord and not to men. It is very important to remember this. Whatever we do, we should do it the best way that we know how. Why? We should always give our best because we are doing it for the Lord. And if you realize that you are offering this job, this time, to the Lord, if you would go at the end of the day and present your work into the hands of the Lord, if you would go and put your time card in the hands of the Lord, you might work differently. And yet, this is what we do. We work for the Lord. As children of God, whatever is worth doing at all is worth doing well. It is embarrassing to see some Christians at work or in the business world today. Some are always trying to get away with doing as little as possible, trying to get paid as much as possible. Others have a hard time doing what they are told to do. That should not be a problem for us. It is the Lord who is telling us to do what we're doing. We're working for the Lord. And it is a real bad witness to do whatever we want to do and not do what we are told to do. Again, we do not argue, dispute, defy the employer. We obey in all things. So obedience is number one. Integrity is number two. We're not the type of people to take supplies from the company home. Not even in number two pencil. It belongs to the company. If they give those pen as a promotion, we don't take it for granted and go in the box and get some pens. We ask, can I take some of those pen as a promotion to pass around? Oh yes, good, it's good advertising. We have the permission. We are not known at the job to just go ahead and take whatever we want. Not even a pencil. Verse 24, knowing that from the Lord. Now he's telling us why to do all these things. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Here Paul comes up with the key. The reason why to serve this way. The reason why we work like this. Why we ought to be good employees. Because we are not serving the employer as he thinks we are. We are not serving this company. We are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Even if our earthly master does not recognize us and does not reward us, if our work pleases the Lord, we will receive our reward from Him. Our service is to the Lord no matter what we do. Verse 25, but he who does wrong will be repaid for the wrong which he has done. And there is no partiality, no respect of person. The third responsibility is holiness on the job. This is a quality of work. This is a work that should be free from wrong, free from violations, a work dedicated to the Lord. As a child of God, we should not be called ever by our employer and be rebuked for doing an evil thing on the job. We should not ever. And then Paul closes this section, the employee relationship, the employee responsibilities, with a warning. And the warning is this: whoever does wrong will be repaid for the wrong done. And this is a general principle, and it is placed right in between the employees and the employer, because next we jump to the employers. And this is a principle that is applicable to both. The servant who defrauds the master of his service, and the master who defrauds the servant of his just recompense. But no details are given. We don't know when, we don't know where, and we don't know how the wrong will be repaid. Maybe in this life, maybe not. We can only speculate. Still, we should not ignore God's warning. God never warns for no reason. And he is saying here, He who does wrong will be repaid for the wrong which he has done. Paul also adds that there is no partiality, no respect of person. It makes no difference who we are, how long we've been on the job, how much seniority, how much we put in there, how important we are on that job, how much wonderful things we have done for the Lord, how much money we have, how many things we have. Makes no difference. We do not fall into a special group. We do not have any special dispensation. This applies to everyone. So here we have the employee's responsibilities. Obedience, integrity, holiness. This is Christianity on the job. There is an unfortunate break here. Chapter 3 should also include verse 1 of chapter 4. Chapter 4 should really begin with verse 2. It is evident that verse 1 concludes this particular section. Paul addresses now the other side of the coin. He's been doing this since verse 18. He addressed the wives, the other side of the coin, the husband. He addressed the children, the other side of the coins, the parents. Now he's been addressing the employees. Again, he goes the other side of the coin, the employer. Masters, employers, give your servants, your employees, what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Here the master, the employer, is told how he should treat his servants or his employees. He is to be just and fair with them. We must keep in mind that this is to the new men in Christ that Paul is talking about. He is addressing here believers, Christian masters, Christian employers. Unbelieving masters could not be expected to do that. There are several ways for an employer to be unjust, to be unfair. The first one is an unjust, unfair wage for the work done. God speaks out in his word several times against unjust wages. James said in James chapter 5, James 5, 1, come now, you rich, weep and cry for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have piled up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cried out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. God sees all these things. There are Christian employers who abuse, who take advantage of people in desperate need of a job. They will not pay what would be a fair salary. The wages should be more, but because of their desperate situation, a lesser than normal salary is offered, knowing that they will accept. They're in trouble, man. They really need a job. They take advantage of the unfortunate situations of others in order to save money, in order to generate a bigger profit. God says, you cannot do that. There is also another way to be unfair, to be unjust. discrimination, promotions, salary increases given to friends, people we like, certain people that we like better than others for whatever reason. This is not to be done by Christians. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul mentioned another responsibility for the employers. In Ephesians 6, he tells the employers in verse 9, "And you, masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality with him." So the other thing mentioned by Paul to the employers, no threats. They are to give up. They are to stop threatening the employees. Some employers, they like to threaten employees. Threats of firing them. Some Christian employers use their power, their authority, to intimidate the employees. This also is not to be done by Christians. And Paul closes this section here, the employer's responsibility, also with a warning. And the warning for the employers is this: you have a master in heaven. You may be in charge today. You may have all the authority over others today. But be careful how you treat them. The master is not less bound than the servant to do his duty as unto the Lord. Those who are masters of others have a master themselves. They are not lords of themselves. They are accountable to one above them. They should deal with their servants, with their employees, as they would expect God to deal with them. This is the responsibility to the employers. And now this is the scriptural position of the Christian on the job. The employees, four things. Number one, he ought to be the best worker. Number two, he ought to obey orders and not argue. Number three, he ought to serve Christ and not the boss only. Number four, he ought to work whether anybody is watching him or not. And if he follows these principles, he will receive his reward from Christ, even if his earthly master does not recognize him or does not reward him. He has that guarantee, that assurance, that as he does his work as unto the Lord, whether his employer is fair or not, rewarding him fairly or not, mistreating him or not, the employee has that assurance that God will reward him, because we work for the Lord. Let us be good examples. Let us show the rest of the world that Christians are not like the rest of the world. Christians are not ordinary people. They have a different work life, a new work life. If the Lord has touched your heart through his word this morning, and if he has shown you as employee or employer certain things that you are doing wrong, just rejoice. Rejoice that the Lord cares for you, cares enough to show you what to change. This is why we gather together, to study his word, not to puff our knowledge, but to refine our character, our conduct, our behavior. And if you need prayer, there would be men to pray with you after the service in the prayer room. There would be ladies to pray with the ladies in the prayer room number two. We are here to help in any way we can. So may the Lord be with you. May He pour His Holy Spirit upon each and every one of you. May He guide you, protect you, and use you wherever you are this week, as employee or employer. May you remember who you are working for. You are servants of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.